Hi, this is Jean-Jacques Taylor, and you're listening to Jot Talk. This is a podcast where I talk about the Cowboys, the team I've covered as a beat writer, columnist, TV insider, and radio host for 28 years. I'll also talk about the NFL and the things I love, working out, streaming, food, and all things Dallas. My boy Big Joe and the Big Rig, one of my oldest friends, produces the show and occasionally chimes in with his thoughts on the Cowboys. After all, he's a lifelong Cowboys fan, and he played high school, college, and semi-pro football. Welcome to Jot Talk, where sports is fluid. What's true today might not be true an hour, a day, or a month from now. I'm going to give you the truth straight. No chaser. Glad to have you aboard. Let's get it. Welcome to episode 100. That's 100. Of Jot Talk. I hope you're prepared to be entertained and dazzled for the next hour or so as me and my boy Big Joe and the Big Rig go over all things Dallas, including the Stars Game 7 win over Las Vegas. We up late because we was watching the game, or at least I was watching the game. He may have been watching some of the game. What's the sit rep, Doc?
Sit rep, let's see here. We are a minute and 13 seconds into the game, and we are 5-5. And our magic number is 100. 100 represents, what is the Cowboys record, the last 100 game is a nifty 60-40.
Boy, I had a brother who'd been out there doing research. Yeah. I feel bad now. I was going to say, Wilt Chamberlain scored 100 points.
Yeah.
Did you ever think we was going to get to 100 after you cussed me out about three or four times the first week?
Oh, that's always. A decent conversation if the people ain't heard it 10 times already. No, hell no, I didn't think we was going to make it to 100. Congratulations and balloons and champagne and all of that good stuff. No, sir.
Yeah. Hey, but you know, these things happen from time to time.
Well, you did tell me. Now, I got to give a man his due because at about this time right now, I say it's about 99.5% a good time to do this show. I enjoy the hell out of this show. And that's all you can ask for, you know. But you did tell me that this show was going to change. The way we sounded at number 1 or number 15 or number 20, it's going to be a lot different when we get to 100 or when we get down the road. And
yes, sir.
Yeah, I think it's involved into some good stuff. Even though I do have to get on your ass sometimes, and I do have to cut my mic off on certain things, but it's all good. That's that .5 right there.
Hey, you know. Bees like that.
Roger that.
If you are out on the streets late in a rainstorm, as my son was last night, now this did not happen to him, but you're involved in an accident, and somebody else's negligence has created some harm for you, what you got to do real quick is pull out your cell phone and punch up those numbers, 972-934-8900, and let Greening the Law know, yo, this is what happened to me. Here are the details. Can you help me? And let me tell you something right now. If the answer is yes and they bring you on as a client, it has been a fantastic day for you. Real talk. It's been a fantastic day for you. Because whenever you fight somebody else's insurance company, that thing, as we know, can be long, tedious, intimidating, hard, frustrating, all of that. And Greening Law does its best to make sure that none of that affects you because they handle every single solitary part of the process, especially when it comes to care. So you need a doctor, they hook you up. They go find a doctor for you. Set the appointment. You just show up. You need a specialist. They do the same thing. You just show up. And that's because they want you focused on two things. They want you focused on healing and renewal. I like to say, get your mind right, get your body right, and get your life back. And once that happens, you're good to go. Now, the other thing I like to tell you, that call you make is free. Don't cost nothing. Pick up the phone and call Green and Law and say, hey, what's up? They don't get paid unless you get paid. So you don't have to worry about some extra fees or can I afford it? No, They don't get paid unless you get paid. That's how much they believe in themselves. That's how it works for them. And they ride with you. They tell you when to turn left and when to turn right, when to hold tight, when to walk, when to run, when to crawl. All of that stuff Greening Law does. So if you're ever involved in an accident, somebody else's negligence, whether it's in a car, it's a workplace, you know, let them help you. 972-934-8900 is the number. It's been a great weekend if you're a Dallas sports fan. Your Dallas Mavericks on to round two of the playoffs. And your Dallas Stars took care of business tonight, beating the hated. Yeah, I'm going to call them the hated. Las Vegas Knights in game seven. Dallas will now advance to round two, where they will play the Colorado Avalanche. I got some great stories from that. I remember back in the early, the late 90s, I was going to Denver to watch the Stars play the Avalanche like every year for two or three years. Spent a lot of time at the Pepsi Center watching the Stars do their thing. That being said, my friend, big series win for the Stars. I mean, they lost the first two games at the crib, and I don't want to hear nothing from y'all. I did not believe. I ain't making no excuses for it. I'm just saying, I didn't believe they was going to come back and win four out of five or win the series. Did you have any thoughts on that?
Well, you don't know they good till they good. You know what I'm saying? You don't know a young team is gelling and they playing well until they actually do it. I mean, I thought they was done, too. I thought they was so much done, I wasn't watching no more games. I'm just telling you this.
Now, I watched game three. I watched game three because, you know, obviously it was going to be a situation where you go, okay, if you go down 3-0, even in hockey where people can come back because the puck is just a funny thing. But if you go down 3-0, you're not going to win. And so when they won that one 3-2, it became, well, now I need to watch game four. Because if you go down 3-1, you're not going to beat them three straight. Well, they won game four, 4-2. And now it's like, oh, okay. Are you going to take a sigh of relief and take a deep breath and then let the Golden Knights come back into your crib and win it? And then try to close you out in Las Vegas? Nope. Stars won that one 3-2. And I got to be honest with y'all. I did not think the Stars were going to win four straight against the defending Stanley Cup champions. And so I was not surprised when the Knights won 2-0 in game six. It was a well-played game. Stars could have won it. It was 1-0 up until the end. They scored an empty netter. So it was a quality game. They just happened to lose. And so I felt good about their chances of winning game seven. To me, it was all about one thing and one thing only. For the most part, which young guys show up. And Wyatt Johnson, you familiar with him, man?
Yes, sir. He scored the opening goal.
He's one of the youngest dudes. Yep, and he's one of the youngest cats in the NHL. I believe he's 20 years old. He might be 21. He's definitely not older than that. I think he's 20, though. He scored the first goal, and, you know, the young guys came out and did their thing. The Stars' fourth line, which is usually a checking line, a tone-setting line. Pete DeBoer started them tonight to kind of set the tone, and they did their job. Radek Faksa scored, like, less than a minute into the third period, gave the Stars a 2-1 lead. And then after they took that lead, man, they put on a clinic on how to play defensive hockey. And one of the ways you play defensive hockey is you actually had a puck and control the puck on the offensive end. Because guess what, dog? You can't score if you're playing defense all the time. And they were really good, man. They out in the first part of the third period, they outshot them 9-1, and they really controlled it. But Pete DeBoer is now 8-0 in game seven situations. And I thought outside of a little bit of the first period, let me see. Well, there was a little stretch in there in the second period, but I thought the Stars controlled the game at the end of the first period, most of the second period at the second half of it, and then pretty much all of the third period. What do you think?
I think this is what I think about our young teams, not the Cowboys, but the Rangers and the Stars and the Mavericks. When you play a team, the Cowboys ain't giving us nothing, all right? But we love the Cowboys, all right? What I'm saying is, you see the Stars play, you see the Rangers play, you see the Mavericks play. Pressure bursts the pipe. Pressure and expectations burst the pipe. You playing against the defending Stanley Cup champions, okay? First of all, that team is tired anyway, because what's the gap between when the season starts and the Stanley Cup? When the Stanley Cup ends and the season starts, what is it, like 30 days, 60 days or something, if you go all the way?
It's about like the NBA, so it's not that long.
It's not long at all. I remember when the Stars won it, they got to go back to camp in like 30 days or something. It's something ridiculous. But anyway, the pressure and the expectations is all on Las Vegas. We playing with house money. So when things don't go the team's way, I played on some good teams where we expected to win, and when somebody that's terrible is even hanging with us, a lot of fingers, a lot of looky-loos and blames and all that stuff come out, we expected to beat them and we not beating them. I think when you playing with house money, which is what the Rangers was doing, which is what the Mavericks are doing right now, and the Stars are doing, and the Cowboys let Green Bay be that team. The Cowboys had all the pressure. Green Bay whooped their ass, but I keep going back to that. But that's why I look at the Stars now. It's like, after they was down 0-2, I'm be honest with you. I wasn't even listening. Usually a lot of times I end up doing some listening to the game. I put it on an iPad and do other stuff and listen to the game rather than watch it. And hockey and baseball are two sports I'd rather be there than watch it on TV.
All right. Now, I will push back on this. The Stars had the best record in the Western Conference. Mm-hmm. They're the top seed. Mm-hmm. The only difference is I think the pressure might not have been quite as intense, maybe, for a couple reasons. Number one, you're not the major sport in town. It's not like you, the Toronto Maple Leafs, or even Las Vegas, where you are kind of like the primary sport, even though they got the Raiders there. They've been to the Cup. They've won a Cup.
I wasn't talking about pressure from the outside. I'm talking about team-wise.
You're talking about internal?
Internal, yeah.
I get that.
Yeah.
I was going to say the only other thing is that the Western Conference of the NHL was damn near like the Western Conference of the NBA, which is the Stars won 52 games, but Las Vegas was the eighth seed. They won 45 games. So it's not like they was close. It's not like there was a bunch of bums and they snuck into the playoffs. They were clearly the eighth best seed, and they was only 1 point out of being the sixth seed.
Right.
Because Nashville had 99 points, the Kings had 99, and the Knights had 18. So they 16 games over 500. So it's not like they're a bad team.
Well, when you playing the champ, you get a little extra.
Yes, exactly.
You get a little extra juice. You know, these guys is the champ. They don't want it all. Whether we better than them or not, you know, if they lose to the champs, you say, well, they was the best team. And I'm kind of making your argument. If they were the best in the conference, if they was the best in the conference, then yeah, there's a little pressure on them too, because everybody say, look, you was the best, you should have won. I don't care if they're the champs or not. It's a lose-lose situation, I guess, because you want a little juice. I guarantee you, I played on like three championship teams playing semi-pro ball. Everybody wanted to get some. Everybody was amped, and you had to wave. You know, you had to like weather the storm of hype and emotion and people going crazy because you the champ, and then settle down and kick their ass. And I think that's what Las Vegas thought they had. And then, you know, stuff started falling apart.
Now, I think it was huge for the Stars to Las Vegas came out and pretty much controlled most of the first period, I think. And then Wyatt Johnson got a turnover, pulled it right into the slot, put a sniper shot on the glove side. And they went up 1-0, and so much in the game 7, especially when you're at the crib and you're trying to win it. You don't want to play from behind, especially against Las Vegas, because they're a really good defensive team, and they can shut you down in terms of you don't even really get shots on goal, let alone quality shots. And so I thought the 1-0 lead was huge. And really, man, sometimes I got to tip your cap. Las Vegas made a great play to tie it up at 1-1. Dude got a great pass at the corner of the end of the corner of the pipes. And there was nobody there. I mean, he literally just redirected it in the goal, and Ottinger had played the shot, and dude snuck in from the backside and just tapped it in. That's not on the goalie. That's on the defenseman. But then I had just made myself some tacos, man, so I could watch the third period. I had literally just sat down on the couch, and your boy Faxon scored. And I was like, oh, it's on. And then I sent you a I think the only there was a power play. Ottinger got called for tripping with like 11 minutes left. And they played so well on the power play, like they didn't really get a shot off until the end of the power play, that I was like, well, it looks to me like they're going to take this one. And I sent you another text with about 5 minutes left that said, this thing probably going to get wild at the end. But they controlled it so much, they really didn't get that typical frenzy where the other team is just blasting off a bunch of shots at the end. So, I mean, it's a great game for the Stars. They controlled it, and they won the series. It's a big win for them. You've talked about their youth a lot, but they also got a nice little mix of veterans in there with Pavelski and Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin and Deshane. And so they are a contender, y'all. I mean, in case you didn't know, they're a real contender. I don't know if they'll get it, but they're one of the teams that's certainly capable of winning a cup this year. And they got that young talent to go with those vets. And to me, that's the perfect mix. That's what the Rangers had last year. That's what the that's what the Mavs have. Although the Mavs young talent isn't as good as the Stars young talent. But it should be I like to say, man, we set up at least for another couple of weeks with the Mavs and the Stars each playing in the playoffs, which should be fun.
Well, imagine that. You know? Imagine that, being a playoff team getting past the first round. Huh? Oh, and another thing.
Nah.
What you put in them tacos, man?
The tacos were they were at one level they were basic. I cheated a little bit. I saw something yesterday, 2 days ago when I went to the store. I was like, you know what? I don't normally try something like this, but I'm going to roll with it today. I bought some, whatever the regular brand taco is, the one that everybody buys. I forget what it's called. But they had some flavored shells, and they were a jalapeno and cheddar. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm rocking with that.
Man, you eating Doritos or something.
Anyway, let me tell you about myself. So I had some, don't laugh at me, man, some organic grass-fed beef with just I put some minced garlic in it, put some taco seasoning in it, and then a little bit more garlic. And then that's really all I put in it, man. And then I put it in the shells. I put some red onion, some cilantro, and some salsa in it. And I was off to the races.
Oh, the reason I asked is because I got to admit, I fell asleep. Because I overdosed on chicken Alfredo and IBC root beer.
Wow.
Boy.
You okay?
Oh. Man,
I bet you did go into a coma.
No, I was done. Yeah, I had to work the food around with stuff all day, and then I got that for dinner. A couple of them IBCs that put me under. The daggone chicken Alfredo.
So as the Stars move on to round two, we'll talk about that later, but they will be playing the Colorado Avalanche. So, all you need to know about that series, if you haven't really been following the Stars all that much, is that the series we just saw, a bunch of 1-0, 2-1, tight-checking, tense, taut games, that is not Colorado-Dallas. Colorado led the Western Conference with 304 goals. Your Dallas Stars were second. So this should be a lot more wide open, a lot more scoring, a lot more up and down the ice. Colorado got the best home record at 31-9. Dallas Stars got the best road record, 26-10. So should be a lot of fun, man. Should be another great series. And we'll get more into that next week. But Stars advance. Big Game 7 win. I'm happy for the Stars, man. It's good. I mean, don't take another shot at the Cowboys unless you need to. It's good to see a team have a great regular season, overcome some adversity, and really go ahead and at least get to the second round. And I think the first round can often be the hardest round of the playoffs. All that pressure that you were talking about. Now, it's kind of released a little bit, and maybe you can just go play your game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they led the league with eight guys with more than 20 goals. Against Colorado, I think there's a good chance you'll see that their scoring depth really take hold. And I expect to see a lot of 5-3, 6-4 games when they play Colorado. But maybe not, because Jake Oettinger is really good. And he played well tonight. He gave up one third-period goal during the series. And we also know that a goalie can win a series for you. And when they start standing on their head, ain't nothing you can do about it. Let's move on to your Dallas Mavericks, man. Big win to win the series. And I was just like, as you start thinking about Oklahoma City, if you paid much attention to Oklahoma City, even though they had the best record in the Western Conference this year.
Yeah, I know they roster pretty good, and they can play. They play with a small lineup, and they pretty quick too. So they don't have no. They have zero ass about them. They can't push you around, but they can outrun you. All of their players in their lineup can run. The center can run. Holmgren. Williams is a 6'5" power forward. I don't know how he get away with it. He really a shooting guard playing power forward.
Right.
You know, he should play two or three, but he played a four in some kind of way to get away with that. So I don't know. It's one of them things is our strength has not been really rebounds. We don't have like a board like a glass cleaner. And plus right. they spread the floor out pretty good where you really in this era of small ball. I don't know how people will ever average, you know, 12 or 13 rebounds a game again, where everybody right. is a stretch, you know, and everybody, you know what I'm saying? That's part of being a superstar, having double-digit rebounds. But I think they spread you out. They can slice you up. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is pretty good. Probably one of the top point guards. He can do everything. And I don't know about his defense, but he's long. He's a long point guard. I don't know how much he going to match up with Luka. That's going to be interesting right there.
Because yeah, I don't think he can handle Luka.
No, I'm saying both of those guys are going to – nobody can handle Luka. But if Luka is matched up with him for whatever reason,
right,
it's going to be tiring out there. You know, it's going to take some pop off of him. Because Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is pretty good at his offense is pretty good. He'll attack the basket. He'll do a lot of good stuff.
Well, he's the third leading scorer in the NBA, 27 points a game.
Yeah, but his all-around game is outstanding. It's kind of, you know what I'm saying? He can score, but he does everything.
No. I got you. Now, they start this series Thunder against the Thunder on Tuesday. They got the late game, 8:30 against the Thunder. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how the Mavericks relax after coming off a big win against the Clippers. But, you know, the other thing is the Thunder have been off for several days, pretty much a week and some change by the time the series starts. And we all know sometimes, like the Mavericks in game one against the Clippers, a little bit of that rust can get to you, especially if you're going up against
it. Is it rest or is it rust? That's the question. Always the question when that
happens. Always the question.
Yep.
All know Oklahoma City.
I'm sorry. I was just saying, we skipping over the fantastic Clipper game. You know, the way they whooped the Clippers' ass that last game. And the three-pointer that Kyrie hit. What the hell was that? Where he went, he, I don't know, the man, what, how'd he get from point A to point B? That's why they always talk about him having one of the best handles in his, what happened? How you get over there? You know, you was right here, and then you jump your ass over there and bucket.
Somebody put it on a slow motion, and what happened is he did about a cross, the first one, he did like a shoulder shake crossover that really got your boy moving. And then when he regathered, he gathered himself and tried to cover him again, he did another crossover that was a little more basic that created some more room. And when he used that momentum from the last cross, from the second crossover, to bounce to the corner and elevate. And if you watch it in slow motion, he is smiling as he shoots the ball.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's the damnest thing you ever seen.
Like, I got you.
Then you got to go back and look at the replay and look at Daniel Gafford in the, on the bench watching him. And his eyes are like, oh, my God, what am I seeing?
Yeah.
And then you got to, then as he put the final shot up and he elevates, you got to look at, that might have been Jaden Hardy. You got to look at his face because he's like, what did I just see? And when the ball goes in, instead of looking at Kyrie and Mob, you got to look at Luka just turn around and be like, damn. And he walks towards center court while everybody else is running to Kyrie. And it's really, as y'all can see, I watched the replay like 20 times.
Yeah, that's a good breakdown, though.
But,
good breakdown.
But, you know, we've said it several times that what makes the Mavericks dangerous, and again, I don't know if they'll win this series because Oklahoma finished number one in the West. I mean, you got to give it to them. That, you can't fluke your way to number one in the West. But I know this for a fact. The Mavericks have two superstars. The Thunder, it appears, has won. And so at the end of games, the Mavericks, to me, have an edge because they have two guys, and I've said this many times, you can only hope that they miss. There's nothing you can do to stop them, slow them down, whatever defensive coverage you want to throw at them, completely, totally, utterly irrelevant. It's just a matter of whether they hitting their shots or missing their shots. Because, you know, Kyrie had 2 points at halftime against the Clippers. Well, I remember this is one of the few times lately Stephen A. Smith has been in his lane and said the right thing. And so they came to him at halftime of the NBA, halftime of the ESPN show. And I was looking at it before I did whatever I was doing because I never watched halftime. And somebody asked Stephen A., hey, what did Mavericks have to do in the second half? He said, nothing. Kyrie got 2 points. That won't be how he finishes, or something like that. And, you know, somebody, I think Michael Wilbon or somebody else said the same thing, like, Kyrie got 2 points. That's a problem because you know he's not going to finish with 2 points. And, you know, the way he asserted himself in the third quarter, and then he started feeling it, it was, man, it was, he's probably now, as I think about it, up there with Luka in this sense. He going to provide you one or two moments a game that make you go, wow, what the hell was that? Mm-hmm. And, you know, because Luka, the thing I liked about Luka the other day is that he figured out early on, okay, my three is not working. And sometimes his three ain't working, he just keeps shooting it. This time he's like, you know what, my three ain't working. I'm finna get in the lane and shoot me some short jumpers, some mid-range jumpers, yep, and go to the free throw line.
That's part of the 52 points they had that game in the paint.
Yeah.
You start dealing down there like, all right, then. You know, plus, I think a lot of that is he knows he got Kyrie. So he all that trying to shoot threes and, you know, trying to keep hitting threes and being desperate, you know, on his offense, he don't have to do that no more. Because he got, you know, right, them guys believe in each other. And you can see that. I watched some old tape of Kyrie, some interviews. I watched some interviews, some old interviews, and not game tape, old interviews where he was talking to, you know, when he was with Brooklyn, he was with Boston, and he was salty, and all of that stuff. And then You get to the end of that, and they showed the Maverick stuff. He high-fiving. He's happy. He's, you know, a lot of that, like we talked about before, is maturity. A lot of that is how the Mavericks have set him up. And supposedly Mark Cuban has done a lot of things to make Kyrie happy. I was, one, surprised that they re-signed him because I really didn't care about – I listened to all the noise about Kyrie. And some of it was good, some of it wasn't. I wasn't down with that. I was like, I can't believe they signed him. Hell, even on 2K, if I play with the Mavericks, first thing I do is trade them Kyrie for a bucket of chicken. I don't give a damn. You know, so I just didn't like him. But guess what? I'm playing with him now. He's one of my favorite players now.
I bet
now.
You do.
Well, you know, you didn't get to see Kyrie. I'm not trying to repeat myself, but if you don't see him on a consistent basis and you hear all the other stuff that's going on about him, they say he good. I haven't really seen it. I've seen it now. So you get to see him consistently because he plays on my team. And that's one of the
you
things.
Know, that's the like, point. That's a point I made to my boy the other day. I said, I knew Kyrie was good. I said, I had no idea he was this good.
Right.
Because I haven't seen him play on a regular basis. I mean, you might see him play on the game of the week or whatever. But I haven't been watching him play night in, night out like I am now.
Yeah.
And that dude is phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, he's ridiculous, the stuff that he does. And, you know, so that was a terrific performance by the Mavericks. They got the big guys involved early. Luka was attacking early. And even when they were giving up the lead, I never felt like the Clippers were in control. The Clippers were always making runs to try to get back into the game as opposed to, you know, trying to stretch a lead. It was, you know, the only question was when would the Mavericks knock them out? And to me, it was just a matter of time. And they took them out in the third quarter and, you know, didn't really give them any life, any hope in the fourth quarter. And, you know, to me, that was a big deal. Because you knew the Clippers, man. The way they're set up, it don't take much for them to fold. You know, I don't have a lot of faith in Paul George or James Harden right now. Russell Westbrook is a shell of what he used to be. And so, you know, they've shown you what they'll do if you apply the pressure. They will burst. And so it's just a matter of how long before you apply the pressure and they burst.
Yeah, because no Kawhi. In a season where Kawhi played 76 games, the most games
that's
he played.
That's kind of crazy, ain't it?
The most games he played in a damn regular season in a long time. There was really no load management. So you get him 76 games and he hurt in the playoffs. Guess what? Might want to go back to load management. Because your team gets used to that. Because early on, I was thinking, you know, this team ought to be like all the other Kawhi's team where when Kawhi's not there, y'all play good. When Kawhi comes back, he gets acclimated, y'all bring him in, and it's all good. Well, they had him they had him the whole time. So when he's out, they was, you know, kind of trying to fill a void rather than the Toronto team, which they did the load management, and, hell, they was a good team. You know, those guys were a good team without him, but they was great when he came back. As opposed to having him all year and then no playoffs. So, I don't know. I think that Kyrie would have been there. I mean, Kawhi would have been that piece to give him some clutch. You know, as constructed, they was good, but they wasn't that good when they came. You know, we played them because Kyrie was jacked up. Like I said, I knew when Luka held him just a little bit and he didn't blow by Luka, I thought, that dude ain't got no wheels.
Nope.
No. So.
No, his knee would not allow him to really play to his ability. He didn't have any burst, couldn't really run, so he didn't have a lot to give, and that was disappointing for the Clippers. But it's good for the Mavericks.
Yeah,
Now the Mavericks did.
You know what the hell with the
Mavericks
Clippers?
Hell with
the Clippers go. You know what I'm saying? We put. You know, I just wanted to revisit that game because I didn't want to move on too fast to Oklahoma because it was an incredible last two games, and them cats.
Nah, it was.
You know, let's count. Let's count. You know what I'm saying? Let's give them their flowers for that damn series right there, And then we move on to the next one.
Part of that is, and I'm going to go more in depth on this for a minute, is that can those of you out there who don't think Jason Kidd is worth a damn, can y'all give Jason Kidd just a little bit, just a teeny weeny pinch of love?
Hold on, I got my hand up. I got my hand up. I didn't say he wasn't worth a damn. I think I'm recording saying he's just a guy. All right. So let me give y'all some subtleties.
Yeah. To me, about Jason Kidd. Number one, he got Kyrie and Luka to play together. That's not an easy thing to do all the time when you're trying to integrate a superstar. That's number one. Number two, he got Kyrie knocked out the fool this year. Why? Because he understands Kyrie. Whatever that means, he and Kyrie, you know, I told y'all that he's Kyrie's idol, and Kyrie played like it. So he respects him, and so the way he play in Dallas might not be the way he play elsewhere, as we've seen in Boston and Brooklyn.
Your boy ain't coached. Your boy haven't coached like he coached in Milwaukee. You know, he ain't the terror that had the was my man, the Greek Freak, crying and shit.
He's definitely changed that.
Jason was too mean to me. Whatever, man. All right.
You know, the other thing he did is that he made the decision, I forget at what point during the season, to put Derrick Jones Jr. in the starting lineup as a defensive presence. He also made the decision, after they got blown out in one February game, that Lively needed to come off the bench and Gafford needs to start. So you got Gafford starting now. You got Derrick Jones Jr. in there. And then he added, P.J. Washington was always going to start at that other spot. Well, all of a sudden, you had three defensive-minded players in the lineup. Then, this is just – so that's all some of the strategic stuff that he does. And then you got Kyrie, to me, said – now, this is more Kyrie than Kidd, but it happened because Kidd made these other moves. Kyrie was like, well, damn, we got three guys in here playing defense at a high level. Luka, he's scoring at a high level. I ain't got to use so much energy to score. Yeah, I go over there and play some defense with y'all. How about that?
Well, he's classic, though. He hit them passing lanes. He ain't going to D nobody up straight up, but he would jump them passing lanes on your ass.
Right. But, and then I think he played at a level that made Luka go, well, damn, if all four of y'all going to play, I'll just try. You know, as opposed to not trying.
I'm going to get this loose ball. I'm going to get that loose ball every now and then. I'm going to dive on the floor.
Yeah. I've seen Luka dive on the floor more in the last 3 weeks I've seen him do in a long time. Maybe his career. But, and so I think somebody made a very interesting point about Jason Kidd. They said Jason Kidd is pretty good tactically before the game. He's not so good during the game. And that's okay at one level. But he said his strength is putting a game plan together off of film, pregame scouting, and saying, okay, this is what they're going to do. This is how we defend it. This is how we attack it. Now, sometimes when they come out and throw them, they do some sleight of hand stuff that they haven't shown before. He's not as good as adjusting on the fly. And that's okay. Every coach has strengths and weaknesses. But I think what he's done with his players, and if you look at the way they're engaged during the game and the way they celebrate each other, they like playing together. And to me, some of that is the culture that the coach has established that allows people to be free to be themselves. And that gives you a sense of, just freedom. You know, everybody knows how it feels when you can just be yourself and act yourself, that you enjoy what you're doing that much more. So I think Kidd has played a role in all of that.
I think the indicator of a good coach is not how, you know, you get credit for making the stars feel okay, but how are your other players playing? You know, stars going to get freedom. Kyrie and Luka going to get freedom. But the shit you're seeing Gafford do He put the ball on the deck the other day and tried to dunk on everybody. You know, 6'10 center/forward, he ain't known for putting that thing on the floor, but he put it on the boom. He tried to start. He's going to the line because he's aggressive. That's coaching. That's allowing him to do what he do. Rather than, you know, get the ball, do a two-hand pass, get out the way, screen, get out the way. You know, it's kind of cool to see. You know, I mean, Jones, like you say, Jones comfortable. And PJ, I hope PJ know karate or something. Because PJ trying to be that tough guy. And sometimes you're going to have to fight. Or somebody going to have to know you can fight. That's a lot of time in the NBA. And you can tell who's tough or not. But they leave him alone.
Everybody don't know he from Frisco. Some folks might think he from South Dallas. Might think he from Bonton, Dixon Circle.
I ain't saying nothing.
They don't know he from Frisco.
They got tough people in Frisco.
Where?
I don't know. Where? They got tough
people. Why they practicing on their pristine backyard basketball goals?
Hey, man, one of my best friends in the Army used to live in in Frisco. They got tough. Hey, Frisco, we know y'all. I know y'all got some tough people out there. So there you go. Anyway, But either way, he's showing a lot of toughness, and he get pretty chippy. And, you know, I like that. Somebody got to be that, because Lively too young. And Gafford, I think Gafford got some of that in him. He definitely got some dog and some hustle in him. But, I think that's a good team. I think we got a good squad. And like I said, it's incredible to watch him right now.
Yeah, I think this will be a fun series. I don't really think there's a lot of pressure on the Mavericks. I'm not a guy who really gets down on pressure a lot. Although, as we talk about the Cowboys, I see it in the Cowboys.
Yeah,
but by the way they perform at crunch time.
Well, pressure don't affect everybody. There are people that are immune to that, but I'm just talking from a competitor standpoint, and you know, an accountability standpoint to your teammate. You know, Luka ain't gonna fold, Kyrie ain't gonna fold, but if Gafford fold, PJ Washington fold. Then Luka and Kyrie out there by themselves. So it's really up to the leaders and the coaches of your team to say, hey, man, calm down. You got this. Don't worry about what he's doing. You do something else. You do this right here and you're going to be okay. Or else you're going to come sit by me and I'm put somebody else in there.
Yeah, but see, that's how I think. I think when your leaders set the tone, which is why we talk about the Cowboys all the time, like we don't see the Cowboys lose in the first round. And then we end up going, wow, Dak and CD and Micah, man, they did that thing. I can't believe nobody else showed up. We say the opposite, like, damn.
No, you say the opposite.
Okay, I say the opposite.
Yeah.
Your best players ain't play their best football, and that played a role in. But I think when you look at the Mavericks, I think Luka and Kyrie will play well, and that will ease the burden off of other cats. But it should be fun, man. I really think Oklahoma City wins the series. But I would never – let me see, how do you say it? I think Oklahoma City will win, but I won't be surprised if Dallas does, because, like I said, I think Dallas has two of the three best players in the series. And if they can get if they can punish them inside with their lob game, you know, it's going to be wild.
You can push Oklahoma center around. The only thing about Oklahoma is their backcord is pretty tall. You got Josh Giddey 6'8", and Gilgeous is about 6'5". But I don't know who's going to guard Kyrie. I have no idea. You see, if PJ Washington can come through for us, it's going to be on and popping, because who's Josh Giddey going to guard? He's slow as molasses, but his offense is off the chain. So who is he going to guard? I don't know. It's some good matchups. And then you can push Holmgren around. You just can't drive on Holmgren because he's going to weak side block all day. But you can push his skin in. I mean, he what, 7'2", 200?
Yeah.
He quick, but he ain't got no ass at all.
And, you know, you can't really take much from the season series. Oklahoma City, I think they swept them.
Mm-hmm.
But the first game – Luka didn't play. The second, I forget what it was, but there was the, there was some weirdness to all the wins. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the losses. There's one time where you say, okay, I think the first time they beat them, they didn't have Gafford, and that's what it was. First time they beat them, they didn't have Gafford and PJ. The second time they beat them, Luka didn't play. And then I think the third time they beat him was the last game of the season. Man, who cared in that one? So, you know, it's,
yeah, I never,
there's no
– I never counted regular season, you know, those matchups because the Mavericks have changed as a team. Like you said, they got two pieces, and all the roles right. kind of changed up, you know.
And the Mavericks yeah, got so a nice mixture. I don't think this is – Well, I think the thing about the Mavericks is they used to be if our three-pointers are falling, we win. If they're not falling, we lose.
Right.
Now, they got the inside game with Lively and Gafford, so every bucket is not a 28-foot shot. They get a lot of lobs, a lot of dunks, a lot of putbacks. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, Kyrie takes care of the mid-range game. Because anytime he need a bucket, he dribble around, go hit that, you know, 15-foot jumper. And so it allows him to score at, you know, at every different level on the court. And to me, I think that's what gives your offense some consistency so that you're not so reliant on the three. And they can still shoot the three. And when they're hitting them, they just really, really, really hard to beat. And so, you know, they got some versatility to their game. We've been bitching about Maxi Kleber missing a bunch of threes and being tentative on his shot, but they're going to miss him. He's out with a sprained shoulder, separated shoulder. He's going to miss the whole series. But he's really on the court because he's their defensive captain. Like, he puts everybody in the right spot, lines everybody up, makes sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to do.
And he get and, rough, too.
That's a significant loss.
He'll get a little chippy, too. Maxie going to mix it up. So, yeah.
But they will get Tim Hardaway Jr. back.
Okay.
And, okay, you don't sound very impressed by that. But, you know.
Give us something, Tim.
Tim Hardaway Jr. to me is the kind of guy, who did we talk about in the NFL that the Eagles went and got? The great receiver
Julio
from Alabama.
Jones? No.
Yeah, he could be.
Yeah, Julio Jones.
He could be. Tim Hardaway Jr. to me is a guy who in a seven-game series, there is a chance that one game he could do that thing and help you win a game that maybe you wouldn't have won because he's as streaky as they get, and he could drop 28 on you real quick on a night that he's feeling it.
Well, imagine if him and Exum get their game back. If Exum, think about it. He was drilling. He was playing good basketball. He just kind of – is it confidence? Is it him being lost in the shuffle? What's going on with him?
I think guys just go through slumps. You can't hit your jumper, and you can't do a couple things. And this is the playoffs. We ain't got time for you to find your rhythm. We got to go win. So you're going to have to sit till somebody gets some foul trouble or something else, and I have to put you back in.
Yeah.
And that'll give you an opportunity to show that you found your game, but – you know, it's the playoffs. It ain't about your feelings right now. We're trying to win. And so, Exum played much better in the last game. And he don't need to give you but, you know, two or three buckets a game, play some good defense, and hit them weak side open shots that he get. And if he could do that, it'd be fine, just like Hardaway Jr. You just hit the open shots that you get, it's all good. You don't have to do nothing else. Just hit the open shots that you get. And you know, sometimes when you've been hurt and you get a chance to sit and watch the game, you know, you get a little better feel for it again, and you got time to regroup and reassess, and maybe that'll help him come back and be a more effective player.
Roger.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to it, man. You know, we'll talk about it, but I'm sure we'll stay up late and bring y'all the live reports off the games with this series this week, at least for the Mavericks. We ain't doing it for the Stars, I don't think, until they get to a pivotal moment like they were tonight, where they've earned that. But now, nah, man, let's head to the block, dog.
To the block.
I was gonna start the block today, bitching and moaning. But something happened to me this afternoon. What did I tell my friends? It restored some of my faith in humanity. And so I thought I would bring that story to y'all. Here's the backdrop. Many of y'all know that I started going to a bougie gym because I got so pissed at 24-hour fitness that it was filthy. Well, this afternoon, because they make you do these things in person, I went and I officially canceled my membership. So I walked in, I tried to cancel at the front desk, and the guy said, "Oh, I can't do it. I don't have that kind of power. You got to talk to the manager." So I walked over there and talked to the manager. And he looked at me, and I said, "Hey, man, I need to cancel my membership." He said, "Oh, why are you canceling?" Now, I got to say, before I talked to him, he had been on the phone for about 10 minutes with somebody else. Maybe it was 5. It just felt like 10. I said, "Oh, well, you know, this was always my second gym. And I just decided, you know, to go down to one gym membership." And he said, "But hey, doesn't it look a lot better in here? Because remember, I told y'all, I didn't like the dirt in the place." And I have to admit to you, while I was talking to him, I was looking around, and just off the surface, it did look cleaner. That man told me, he said, "Hey, we've changed our whole cleaning protocol since you told me that." He said, "Come over here, walk over here with me." He said, "Look at this." And on the front desk on the counter, he had all these sheets where you had where the managers and the people who worked there had to initial what equipment they've cleaned that day and all of that so that the gym stays cleaner. And he said, your complaints did not fall on deaf ears. It just took me some while to put some new protocols in. But I got some new stuff coming. That's why we're closing next week." I was like, "Hey, man, that's all good, dog. I appreciate you listening and putting some action in, but you know, I'm just gonna go to this other spot." And but you know, I change my second gym all the time, so maybe I'll be back, maybe I won't. But your customers here will be much happier that you're taking these measures. But it reminded me, man, because I sent this to my boys who I work out with, because the only reason I said something was that my other friend talks all the time about, you know, speaking up when you see something that's wrong and something you don't like, and quit just being mad and holding it to yourself and complain about it. Speak up and give people a chance to let you know that you don't like the situation. And maybe they can correct it or maybe they can't, but they never will if you don't give them a chance. And so I took that to heart and I was like, wow, it's been a whole trickle down effect that will make at least some patrons of the gym a lot happier just because the place is not filthy anymore. It actually looked clean today. And I thought that was a good thing. Restored my faith in humanity, bro.
Okay, I get it. Plus, you know, maybe you a high-profile client over there, and he like have, you know what I'm saying? And then I'm not being facetious either. I'm just saying maybe he thought about, man, I got my man working here and working out here. He likes our gym. He might have went in a meeting and said, "You know who told me this place is filthy? You got Jacques Taylor comes in here all the time. He's been working out here. He loves it. He should love this place. I got him telling me this place is filthy. We got the shit got to change around here." There you go. He gonna go on his podcast talk about our filthy ass gym. No, he didn't know that. But it is good you said something. It's good that he got it fixed. It's all good. But that's probably how the meeting went. Hey, we got one of our oldest customers and a nice guy, and y'all know Jacques, right? Yeah, okay. He don't like the way stuff look around here.
So I don't know. Maybe not. But I'm just glad it got done. So it's a good thing. So that leads me to my bitch and moan and complaint. Dog, it happened again, man. It happened again, dog. I'm going through my credit cards and I see some recurring charges for some stuff that I canceled 4 months ago, man. They just popped back up.
So you gonna tell us who these people are? Or what's up? Who is that?
It was one of them. It was two of them. One of them was Adobe. How about that, dog? Like Adobe don't make enough money. And the other one was Square, the people that that's used for the credit card service.
Now, what I'm saying is, which credit card is it? If you don't mind, which one is which company? Nah, is it? Because a lot of time it's the company that's responsible for that too.
No, it's not the credit card company. It's the vendors. Because one of them was on American Express, one of them was on MasterCard. But it's the vendors. But I finally figured out something though, dog. Because I do this is the way I do it. Okay? Now everybody doesn't do it this way. But this is the way I do it. I basically put all of my bills, all my business related bills, I put on an American Express credit card. And then I pay it off at the end of every month. In part because it allows me to easily track it for my business for taxes. And two, you get a bunch of points if you use your credit card to if you spend money on your credit card. My personal bills, I put on another credit card and I try to pay that off at the end of every month. All right. So I got tired of these different recurring charges. Matter of fact, I sent my son one of the hottest text messages he's gotten from me in probably 3 or 4 years. Because there was some charge he was supposed to have gotten rid of that he was using for school, and it was still on my card. And you know what that dude did, man? He sent me a screenshot and said, "Dad, I took care of this when you asked me to. Here's the screenshot." And I said, "Oh, I'm sorry, man. I apologize. Thanks for taking care of that."
Okay.
And that's when I came up with this idea. Yeah.
Okay, so let me understand what you're saying. Like, okay, like, you know how you play online and you get the PlayStation Network?
Yeah.
All right, that used to be $59.
Right.
So I'm minding my own business, and my wife yelled at me, said, "Hey, why you spending money on PlayStation?" I said, "What are you talking about? They just charge you $79. Well, the damn thing went up $20, and they charged a reoccurring deal on there. And I was I said, okay, maybe I look at the small print. So I called him. I told him, "Nope, I don't want that shit. I don't want the charges. Reverse that." Well, they reversed it instantly. So right. that's where. So even if okay. even if you take it off your credit card, the vendor can come back and redo that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Now you raise a great point, though. Let me tell you two things that's happening. You raise a great point. I'm glad you raised it. Here's what happened in a couple cases. One instance, I called this thing called Course Hero, which my son is using. And I said, "Hey, this was supposed to be canceled, and it wasn't, da-da-da-da-da." And they said, "Oh, Mr. Taylor, I'm so sorry. Let us fix that right now. No problem. Sorry for the inconvenience, da-da-da-da-da. Here's the confirmation number. Here's my name. You should see the reverse charges on your credit card in 72 hours. Thank you, Course Hero. I appreciate it very much. Y'all have a wonderful weekend." And then, dog, I called the Square people. And you know what I got? "If you have questions about billing, go to our website." You know what that means, right? You can't talk to nobody.
Yeah, hell no. Press zero.
Then I got another one from Microsoft that said, "Hey, if you have problems with your billing or a question about your billing, go to our website." Oh, you can't talk to nobody. So at that point, I'm throwing F-bombs all over the living room. And then I said, I sent my son a text. I said, "Hey, man, I figured out something. I got something for the ass." That's literally the text I sent my son. And to which he replied, "Dad, you funny." And so this is what I did, dog. I called up American Express, talked to a guy named Sebastian. I said, "Sebastian, this is what I want to do. Can you help me with this?" I said, "My three American Express credit cards, because they all serve a different purpose. I want new numbers on each of them." He said, "Okay, we can do that." I said, "And I don't want the recurring charges to go to the new cards. I want to wipe them clean. I don't want any recurring charges on my new cars or my new numbers. Because I had explained the situation to him, and he said, Mr. Taylor, that is the best move you could make. I said, thank you, sir. And what that means is, and I didn't know this, if you put that Sony PlayStation on a credit card from 8 years ago, but you don't tell them to stop the recurring charge, it just goes on to every new number that you have. So if you order a new card because you lost it, it goes to the automatically to the new card. So you actually have to stop them, and you have to lock the card from doing all recurring charges, man, for it to stop.
Man,
so,
I think that's new. You know why?
It might be.
I think that is because a lot like you know, let's say you pay your YouTube TV bill automatic, or you a lot of automatic bills.
Right.
Or Apple TV, you say, hey, your credit, right, your, you know, you get a new credit card because it's time.
Right.
Well, moving it on to the new number, that's got to be new because it's been a lot of times where, hey, why? How come my Apple TV ain't working? Or how come I can't get Apple Music? Oh, I didn't change the number.
Oh.
I think that they probably start doing that for your convenience and their convenience too.
Right.
Yeah. That's some good stuff right there. Cause that's got that. That's why I didn't think. That's why I didn't think the PlayStation was gonna jump over. That explains a lot. Because I had got a new card. You know, the card that I had ended in 24.
Right.
And the card I got now ends in 26 or whatever. But yeah. I thought, well, they gave me a new card and it's another number, so it's not going to recur, and I don't have that problem. But no, it's Mrs. Harfield, don't play that. You know, them little bills and stuff. Say, hey, what is this? What is that? What's going on? There you go.
So I'm going to tell y'all one more time. Be vigilant in checking your credit card statements every month. Because, again, I might do it for a minute, then I run into this habit of, well, my bill should be about $2,700. So as long as it's not $3,500, I just go pay it. And that's how they just sneak this stuff in, man. Mm-hmm. I found... And one company had been doing it for 7 months at $25 a month. And I was like, I had never even used them because I went to their website and it's a service I would never even use. And I was like, I don't know how they got my number or whatever, but I haven't used that service, you know, and it's on a credit card I don't use often, so I don't check it often. But once again, be vigilant on these credit card companies, because I was talking to my dad about it and I was explaining it to him. I said, man, this is just like theft. Like he went off on a tangent because it had happened to him several times. I said, it's just theft, man. I said, imagine they do that to 1,000 people and only 100 people recognize it.
Well,
I recognize it after 3 months, or somebody else get it after 7 months. Think about how much money they've stolen without providing a service.
Well, that's where you get
It's terrible.
That's where you get that nice little refund check from Wells Fargo. How they were stealing, you know. And like I say, my wife watches everything. She said, you know, I thought Wells Fargo was kind of funny because toward the end of the deal, we was paying a little more for the car. And what Wells Fargo did was I paid the car off. They did two things. One, they was taking extra money for some reason, so they paid me back about $1,000. That was like the
damn, they took a lot.
Well, they took $300. What they did was they paid me the money that I would have, they added interest on it that if I would have had the money. So they paid me about $1,000. And then another thing them fools did when I paid it off, They never took the lien off of my Toyota that I traded in for my Toyota. So I had to go back to Wells Fargo and talk to them and have that, because I traded it in and they was like, you know, you still got a lien on this car? I'm like, no, I paid it off like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So I had to go back in there and go to the bank and get that stuff taken care of, get it over to the Dodge people. So, yeah, they do some crazy stuff.
Yeah, so be vigilant about your credit cards.
Sure.
Back on it.
Only problem I have with my credit cards is three words. I don't have credit card. I have a check card. And the problem with that check card is add to cart. That's my problem right there. Yeah. Add to cart. You know, them little boxes from heaven that come from Amazon. There you go.
I know about that. I just ordered a couple of them little boxes today.
Yeah, I ordered some chargers, some charger cables.
Oh.
Yeah, my new couch has got USB plugs in there.
Oh, all right.
It's crazy.
That's the new thing, I think.
I guess.
So, yeah, no.
That means you ain't got to get up and go do nothing.
Right. They make a society lazy and lazy and lazy and lazy.
Let them put a drink fountain in a microwave on there. You ain't got to go nowhere. There you go.
No, but that's our trip around the block this week. I hope you have enjoyed it. It's been a late night, so we're going to bid y'all adieu. You can always follow the show on the YouTube station. At The Real Jacques Talk. You can follow the show on IG at The Real Jacques Talk. You can follow me on Twitter at JJT Journalist. And remember, if you think you follow me, you don't, because my accountant has been hijacked. Not even held for ransom, just hijacked. And then check me out on Clapper, where I give you a lot of video details on the Mavericks and the Cowboys, because the Mavericks are hot right now. So anyway, I'm on Clapper. I am Jean-Jacques Taylor's the handle. Clapper's got a TikTok like foundation, but it's a little more in depth than TikTok. So check it out. I think you'll enjoy it. So for Big Joy and the Big Rig, till we chat again, you guys be blessed.